Amen. We've been looking forward to this time of year for a while. The days are getting longer. At work, I'm always saying, man alive, what's that out there? And coworkers look around and say, what is it? It's light. You know, it's getting to be where we can actually see and have a good long day. Amen. Well, the Lord God is good. There's nothing like coming to church. And then nothing like coming to church and finding out that somewhere between your desk and your notepad, you left a page or so of notes. So we're going to pray that the Lord has his way. And we'd like to go to the Word of the Lord. But before we do, give a little bit of backstory. In youth, we've been looking through different heroes of faith, different heroes that did great things. Serve God in mighty ways. And one of those people that I've been looking at is Daniel. And most of us are very familiar with the whole story of Daniel, but I'd like to pull a few things out. So if we can go to Daniel chapter 1, starting in verse 8. That's Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. And it reads, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank, and therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." You may be seated. Now this kind of, to us today, might seem a little bit odd of a request, you know. Well, Daniel, he's not eating what is given to him, you know. Growing up, most of us would have been disciplined for such a thing. But Daniel had his reasons. But what I'd like to look at is just those first six words. "But Daniel purposed in his heart." Right. Now that we know that Daniel, he was in a foreign land. Basically, he was a prisoner of war, taken out of his homeland, taken away from everything that he knew, everyone he knew, the language that he knew, the culture that he was around, completely changed. But yet, even in this, Daniel decided to serve God and please him. He set himself to follow after God at the very beginning. We don't know exactly how old Daniel was, but we know that he was a young man. You know, for all we know, he could have been around Aaron's age or younger, older. We don't know. But yet he decided, he purposed in his heart. Now, I looked that word up, and the definition in this setting was to set, ordain, this is the word purposed, to set, ordain, establish, found, appoint, constitute, or determine. So he was determined. He set himself aside. He purposed in his heart. He established in his heart. Daniel was determined to please God wherever he was. We can see that as we look through his story. Wherever he was, whoever he was around, he set himself to be God's first. In whatever he was doing, he was God's first. And Daniel gives us a great example of a purposed heart. Everything he did, we know that he prayed three times a day. He was consistent in that, and that was one of the only ways that his unfriendly enemies could trip him up. But we'll come back to him in a little while. But he wasn't the only one that had a purposed heart. Or even in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 5, and we'll go there. Daniel chapter 5, verses 18 through 21, gives us a story. "O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nation, languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive, and whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down." This is the what you might call the kicker, though. "But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of man, and his heart was made like the beasts, And his dwelling was with wild asses, and they fed him with the grass like oxen. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven, until he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. See, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and Daniel had given him the interpretation of the dream. And it had come to pass that when Nebuchadnezzar had gotten a prideful heart, well, God said, you know what, that's not going to stand. You know, because God was the one that put him in place. But yet Nebuchadnezzar took it upon himself to say, no, I made this great kingdom. All this majesty, I created it. You know, and he got prideful. His heart was prideful. He grew prideful in himself when it was God that had given all that he had. And we're reminded of the saying, pride comes before a fall. In Jeremiah chapter 17, Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10. Most of us are familiar with this verse. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Yet here's what the Lord does. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. The Lord tests the heart. You know, in school, we would always get nervous when the teacher would come in with a bunch of papers. You know, said, all right, it's time for a pop quiz. You know, testing you, seeing what you knew, seeing what you remembered. Yet what is in our heart, we don't always quite fully realize exactly what is in our heart. But the Lord tries the heart. The Lord examines the heart. He desires those that have purposed or made up in their heart to serve him. Regardless of the story, regardless of the background of the trials that may be coming, God still desires us. There is no excuse for not serving him one day, or just one instance. It seemed like such a little thing that Daniel was dealing with, eating the portion of the king's meat. But yet he still purposed in his heart. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. See, the Lord was testing. The Lord was trying. The Lord was bringing out things that didn't need to be in their hearts. I always thought that was so interesting. Up here, we're familiar in some ways of the oil process. Oil process, has to be found first, then it has to be brought to the surface, then refined. The water and impurities have to be taken out of it. It's a process that takes time and effort. But yet when it comes to the finished product, there's something that there it is quality. The same thing with gold. It has to be found, refined, processed, and made to be beautiful and pure. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 7. Many of us quote this. 4 through 7. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Not just in your mind, not just in your consciousness, but in your heart, in your deepest part of your being. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So in everything, it is to be remembered, to be the forefront, guiding our actions, our thoughts, the way we act, the way we think, in everything that we do, in everything that we are, in everything that we commit to, we are to love God first. See, our God isn't the kind of God that just, you know, gives us a free pass once in a while. It's a commitment. It's what is sometimes referenced to as a binding contract, something that is upheld. Both parties benefit. There is great blessing that comes from it, but it has to be held to some conditions. We are to purpose ourselves to God. And this is what Daniel chose to do. He realized that even among nations with no concept of the true God, he was set aside for a purpose. See, he could have grown up in Israel in peace and prosperity, whatever he was doing at the time. But even in this stressful situation, I can't imagine what's going through his head. You know, he's away from family, friends, he's separated for the kings. The king just totally took a certain group of young men and essentially made them to become politicians, leaders in their government, to be taught the sciences and language of the Chaldeans. But yet, even in the midst of this, he knew and realized that he was set aside for a purpose. So he purposed in his heart that he would serve the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. This is pretty all-inclusive, you might say. It includes every part of our existence, every part of our being, every part of our consciousness, every part of our desires even. Everything Daniel was had to be fully committed, not just partially, not just once in a while, you know, come to church on Sunday, Thursday, but every moment was dedicated. I thought that was very interesting, to live with such a purpose. That was a challenge to me. It's a challenge to everyone, to live with such a purpose as this. We are called for such a time as this, as it says in Esther. Daniel may have been removed from the influence of his culture, but he realized that love for God and the ways of God wasn't just a set of rules and regulations. It wasn't something that he was just brought up from and was an option. But he decided that for him, he was going to serve the Lord. He wasn't going to let it lay by the wayside, just, you know, that part of my life is gone. That part of my life is dead. I'm here now. What do I need to survive? What do I need to do to survive here? He still purposed in his heart to serve the Lord. There was a purpose, and there was a calling upon his life that went beyond the territorial boundaries or even political boundaries. Because we know that several kings came through the land where he was. Yet in each one, he still chose to serve God. And they saw that. They saw that he was dedicated, that he was true. Daniel was a witness, a beacon that shined God's ways and glory to kings and countries. I've been reading through Daniel, and time after time, it's proclaimed. The king makes a proclamation talking about the God of Daniel. And Daniel is named. The God of Daniel did this. He is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be gloried and lifted up. Daniel chapter 4 is where this story of Nebuchadnezzar comes from. Excuse me, I believe it's Daniel chapter 4. But yet he was a witness. People saw that. People realized. And he was the witness that they saw, to where they could see God's glory. And Daniel aligned himself with God for a purpose. And it is by us that people around us can see God's ways. We've heard it said time and again, we may be the only Jesus that people see, that people know about. So many times, what's different about you? You know, my wife gets that a lot, with the long hair and wearing dresses. What's going on with that? Why do you do that? Oh, well, let me tell you about this person I know. Let me tell you about this Jesus. But we are the beacon that shines God's ways in this world.
Praise God.
Psalms 15. Psalms 15, verse 1 and 2. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Now these are, if we want to get to heaven, these are pretty important questions. What do I need to do, God? Who do I need to be? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. Speaketh truth in our hearts. Realizing exactly what we need to do. It's kind of a funny thing, but we can lie to ourselves. So, you know, I'm doing all right. A lot of times we hear that one. I'm doing all right. You know, we put on kind of a face to whatever the day is going on. I'm doing all right. How are you doing? I'm doing well, you know. Sometimes that's not always the truth. But if we can be honest with God, be honest with God in our hearts. But yet, who wants to be in heaven with God? You know, that's kind of, what do we need to do? Like really, what do we need to do, God? Just so many times, Becca, I want the cliff notes, and I want the short version. What do we need to do? You know, I love stories, but there are times when it's just, God, what do I need to do? Just tell me, plain and simple. What do you want from me? Verse 2 tells us, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. God, where do you want me to be? What do you want me to do? Purposing ourselves can't be fake. A lot of times growing up, you know, it was reading all kinds of different stories, all kinds of Louis L'Amour's, cowboys and stuff. And you read about those buildings that some people would hide behind. They're called facades. You know, it was a model of the building as they would like it to be, but not as it was. You know, just the front of a store, all made up nice and pretty. But, you know, it could have been a tarp-covered roof, whatever it may be. But there was a facade there. But we can't put up that facade with God. We read earlier in Jeremiah that God searches the heart. I don't know too many things that can be hidden from God. I don't know exactly one thing that can be hidden from God. No, God can see everything. And he searches our hearts.
Right.
And something that I found out reading through Scripture is that it's never too late to turn to God. It's never too late. Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. Therefore also now, saith the Lord. Now, saith the Lord. Turn ye even to me with all of your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn to the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. We have a gracious God, a loving God. God that realizes where we are and still loves us, and still sees us and desires us to come to him. But that first part of verse 13, and rend your heart and not your garments, making sure our heart is where it needs to be with God. Making sure that the most important part is with him. The Lord knows the heart. He knows true surrender and commitment, and he is merciful. And I thought of the thief on the cross. You know, the other thief, there were two thieves beside Jesus. One was mocking him, and one was telling the other one to be quiet. You know, because he says, you know what, this one's innocent. We deserve to be here. This is our punishment. But there's something real about this one. And all he said was, Lord, remember me when you come to your kingdom. And the Lord was merciful. Man alive, you'll be with me today in paradise. That is some amazing forgiveness. His life wasn't lived right, but yet he still received mercy. Yet we must be purposed in our hearts to follow God and in all his ways. All his ways must be mirrored in our own. No, too many. Driving down the road, you'll see occasionally. In Maine, we would go through the different towns, small towns, and you'd have these vehicles just parked in a field somewhere with scripture on them. You know, you'd see the different words, you'd see the different scriptures. And there were signs pointing at Christ. And that's what our life must be, is a sign showing people the way to God, showing people who he is, mirroring his ways in ours. But yet we are challenged to surrender our heart to God, everything that we are. It's not always the easiest thing to do, you know, because, you know, I don't know about anyone else, but I have my own ways of doing things. We each have our own way of driving, own way of cooking a meal. And sometimes to mirror our ways with the Lord's are a little bit hard. You know, well, I like to do it this way, God. Well, no, there's a reason for everything the Lord requires from us. And Romans 1:21. Doesn't give us a pretty picture of what happens when we do things our own way. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, and neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. We still go back to the heart. And if we read on in Romans chapter 1, it's not a pretty picture after this. All kinds of pain, suffering, sin. It just goes on, and gets worse. But yet it gives us a warning. It shows us what not to do, how not to be. I'm thankful the Lord just doesn't give us, you know, here's directions and just because I said so. Well, no, he gives us examples of what happens when they aren't followed. We can see that. For me, I like to know why I'm going to do something a certain way. Well, why does the process go this way? Well, you do it in the right order. You don't blow things up. You know, things don't get out of hand. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, in closing, if we could all stand together. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verses 1 and 2. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted, and the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We said before, it's never too late. And even walking with the Lord, there's a saying in Bible school, it was a little bit joking, but you better check yourself before you wreck yourself. You know, there's a certain time when you can just get distracted, so busy doing things for God that you forget to keep your heart right, the reasons why you're doing it right. Making sure that we're right with God is not something we just do once a week, once a month, or once a year in Easter. It's a time every day where we need to make sure that we're right with God. Make sure that I'm right with God. But yet now is a time to give our heart and purpose ourselves to the Lord. Amen. Pastor, if you would come.
Amen. The Bible talks about an eternal purpose. So often our purpose is a bit short-sighted in that we have a goal, we have something we want to accomplish. I read a statement about a man, or by a man, who said, so many times people are concerned, or much more concerned, about the last 10 years of their life, with no thought of the first 10 million years of eternity. Now, that's pretty staggering. But let me change that statement just a little bit in line of what Brother Levi shared here today in purpose. Let's not be more concerned about the next 10 years of our lives at the expense of the first 10 million years in the presence of the Lord. How foolish to have that be negated because we had a wrong purpose, or we strayed from the purpose that the Lord established here in our lives. Brother Levi, in the introduction to Daniel in my Bible, poses the thought that Daniel was 16 years old when he was taken captive. I don't know what age he was actually, but that's what that introduction says. And I began to think of when I was 16. Would I have been able to stand like Daniel stood? Would I have been able to identify a purpose without any support or any foundation, any familiarity with my surroundings? Oh, the other young men were there, and probably as they rubbed shoulders with one another and spoke Hebrew to each other, and everybody else is speaking Chaldean in the Babylonish tongue, and they conversed and perhaps said, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. And a little smile would appear on their face as though it were a secret that they would share with each other. But that's the purpose they had. Amen. Oh God, help us. Help us, help us to understand how important a purpose is. A purpose for our own spiritual well-being. A purpose for those that we come in contact with and attempt to be a witness. A purpose for the church. A purpose for His kingdom. Amen. And oh my goodness, the opportunity to be involved in that. Out of all the billions of people upon the face of the earth, here we are, hearing about a purpose. Praise God. Would you come, and we're gonna pray here. And I know we do this for the most part every time we have a service. I don't want it to be routine. I don't want it to be just a common way we close service. I want it to be where we feel a surge and we feel the Spirit and we desire to apply the Word of God, a purpose in our hearts. Amen. Amen. Let's ask the Lord to help us here tonight. Thank you, Lord God.
Oh,
Retreats. I remember hearing one of our pastors, the guest speaker, pastors a large church in the Denver area, and how as a young man, 19 years old, he had prayed through and so excited about serving God, thrilled with the Holy Ghost. Knowing the coming of the Lord was soon, he asked his pastor, what do I need to do? I want to be ready. And the pastor simply told him, keep your heart right with God. Keep your heart right with God. He thought as a new Christian, 19 years old, he thought, that shouldn't be too hard. Keep my heart right with God. But he said, over the years and the situations that he experienced and the people that he interacted with and the different events that came his way all served to change his purpose of keeping his heart right with God. And he realized it's a bit more of a struggle than he thought it was going to be. Oh God, help us. Amen. Amen. Because the only way you're going to make it is to purpose in your heart. The only way you're going to impact somebody else in a positive way, you can impact them in a negative way. They can look at you and say, huh, that's a sorry excuse for a Christian. But if you want to impact them in a good way, you got a purpose in your heart. Amen. Amen. Let's reach out to the Lord again. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.
Yes, take me in your image. Wash me white as snow. Purify this heart of mine. Lord, I'm giving you control. I wanna be a vessel. One that's willing. Control.